Welcome to another episode of The Brand Called You, a podcast and podcast show that brings you leadership lessons, knowledge, experience, and wisdom from thousands of successful individuals from around the world. I am your host, Ashutosh Garg, and today I'm delighted to welcome a very senior technology leader, a thinker from Dublin, Ireland, Mr. Tony Moroney. Tony, welcome to the show.
Good morning, and thank you for the invitation.
Thank you. Tony is the principal of the Digital Explorer. He's a Thinkers 360 Top 10 Thought Leader for Digital Disruption and the Metaverse. He's also a Top 25 Thought Leader for FinTech, Generative AI, and Digital Transformation. All the stuff that the world is talking. So Tony, before we start talking about digital transformation, tell me about your own journey in brief.
I suppose my journey has been quite eclectic, really. I started in industry, worked in financial services, ran a number of different entities. In 2009, there was a financial crisis. I was running an entity that I could no longer fund. Mm-hmm. So I decided, well, actually, I'd like to change careers. So I decided to go into management consulting. Mm-hmm. Shortly after, I got approached by some of the international firms, and I ended up working all over the world with different international management consulting firms. And then I decided there just before COVID, actually, it'd be a good time to come back because I was traveling nearly too much. And I got into the education sphere as well, where actually I was bringing the learnings that I had picked up across the world and helping executives to figure out, you know, their way through the challenges of today. Mm-hmm. So today my career, I suppose, is kind of it's an interesting mix of advisory, education and thought leadership, but all kind of circled around digital disruption.
Very interesting. And, let's now start talking digital. What motivated you to delve into digital transformation and become a thought leader in this field?
Well, I was doing a lot of work on strategy in different parts of the world. And what was really starting to, get my interest was people were talking about digital strategy as something that was separate to strategy. To my mind, that's a misnomer because organizations have strategies. And in that context, they need to take account of the fact that the world is digital. But you don't have a separate digital strategy.
Right.
And I could see that there was an immediate problem because people were talking about digital strategies as if there were something over there. And they were also talking about digital transformation as projects. And for me, there was a big gap in terms of the understanding at board and executive level in terms of, if we're going to do digital transformation, do we know what we mean by it? And do we know what that entails? Because what I find is, organizations claim to be doing digital transformation and they're not. What they're essentially doing is pursuing different digital initiatives and then they wonder why the organization hasn't transformed. And the reason is they didn't set out to transform. They set out to change one of the technologies in their organization. And therein lies the problem. And one of the really interesting things is if you talk to a board or an executive team or a management team, and you ask the simple question, well, what do you mean by digital transformation? Mm-hmm. If there's 10 people in the room, you'll get 25 different answers.
Absolutely.
Now there's an immediate problem because now you drop down a layer and drop down a layer and drop down. How many answers have we got to what we mean by digital transformation? Now we have hundreds. So, for me, it's around having this clarity about, where we're trying to bring the organization. And the most important thing I would stress is that, look, we don't transform because of technology. Mm. We transform because we want to be relevant and competitive in the future.
Well said.
It might so happen that we want to use some technology to help us get there, but we're not transforming because of the technology. And I think this area has become very gray. And I think your organizations have become overly focused on singular technologies and have lost sight of transformation.
What a great response. Thank you. My next question is that, you have mentioned a few challenges, including 10 people in the room and 25 views. But what, based on your own experience, are some of the common challenges a lot of companies face when they start the process of digitally transforming their own operations?
Well, look, I mean, what we've talked about is a key challenge in its own right in terms of if there isn't a unified vision of what this means into the future, you've lost your people straight away. Because, look, As I see the world, we should nearly put an X through digital and focus on transformation. And if we're focused on transformation, we now realize actually this is about people. Because what happens in organizations is, there might be a town hall meeting or whatever, and the organization says, "Oh, we're doing digital transformation." The next day, the people in that organization start to think, "I wonder what this means for me and for my department or my teammates and whatnot." And if they can't answer that, right, they immediately will, let's just say, they won't be enthused about digital transformation and it will fail. Now, the most important thing is that, the leadership must have a vision for the future. The leadership must be absolutely joined up in terms of that vision for the future, because organizations are adept at understanding if executives have different views of the world. And it's very easy as an executive to kill digital transformation. All you have to do is nothing, right? No one can ever say you said anything bad, but you said nothing. Therefore, the message you are sending out to everyone in your part of the organization is this does not matter. But
Fascinating.
you need to be able to show your people that, look, yeah, of course, there are strategic reasons why we need to change, because the world is changing. There's all sort of digital innovations happening. There's changes in consumer demands, expectations, etc. But you need to be able to show them that, look, our organization, to be relevant in the future, this is the type of organization we need to be. And what we need to really focus on is how are we going to get there? And in that context, let's talk about what that means for you and how we're going to develop your skills and how you are going to play an important part of this future that we want to create together. Because if you don't see that, why would you embrace digital transformation? You will immediately say, well, the status quo is good because I get paid every week or every month or whatever it might be. These guys are talking about something, and I'm not sure, but this could be automation and it could be replacing me with robots and things like that. So unless your people are bought into a vision, and unless the organization changes the metrics and changes the conversations to support that, because look, it's quite amazing. Organizations say we're doing digital transformation, and then they continue with the same old metrics and the same agendas and the same everything else. And people say, what happened to digital transformation? So
Anyway.
I've been slightly flippant, but it's not far from the truth. Unless you are going to be absolutely serious about it and show that actually we are committed, because organizations, they have a history of trying to do lots of different things, and over a period of time, fatigue sets in, and people say, well, here we go again. Here's the latest fad from management, and if we wait this one out, this will pass too.
Yes, well
So
said.
what we need to do is show that no, actually, we are serious about this. And that means it permeates through the whole organization and it changes the dialogue. Now, what's really important in my mind is that this is a mindset thing, because if we don't think differently about the business, we won't act differently in the business. And if we don't act differently in the business, the culture doesn't change, right? So if you start thinking differently and then you start doing things differently and they start to become habits, now you're starting to change the culture,
Great response.
right? And organizations don't do that to my mind.
Very well said. And what is your perspective on the role of leadership in driving digital transformation?
Oh, it's absolutely critical. And look, the issue is that if we think about, and look, I do executive education, as you know, but if we think about, a lot of the management constructs that are taught in business schools, they were written in the 1980s. And they were written at a time the internet did not exist. They were written when the smartphone did not exist. They were predominantly predicated on intense rivalry within your industry, right? Now, what is an industry? Some would say something statisticians put together so they could, quantify the numbers. We're now in a world where actually, industries are blurred. Competition can come from absolutely everywhere. The people at the top don't necessarily have to have all the answers, because in fact, you can't expect them to have the answers, because, I'm not a digital native. Now, I work hard to understand digital, but I'm not a digital native. I have two sons who are total digital natives, right? What we need to do is create an environment where, we orchestrate the answers to come up from the organization, because our organizations are full of digital natives who understand this world better than we will ever understand it. And what we need to do is we need to tap into that. I mean, I would be a big advocate of reverse mentoring, where we say to executives, well, look, here are some digital natives that are going to work with you to help you understand that there is a different way to think about the world.
Well said. Well said.
And equally, the benefit here is that these young digital natives are getting to understand the business side, the risk side, the type of complex decision making that needs to be taken. But now you have an organization that's tapped into the real world, as opposed to having young digital natives there sort of saying, this place is kind of very old-fashioned.
No, there's a
I'm not sure I
tremendous
want to
amount of
work here,
mutuality
right?
in what you're saying. But I'd like to also now move on and ask you that, I have seen businesses transform over the years. How important is customer experience and customer feedback in
Well,
shaping a digital strategy?
yeah, no, it's absolutely fundamental, right? Because as I said earlier, we don't transform because of technology. We transform to be relevant and competitive. And if we want to be relevant to our competitor to our customers in the future, we need to give them great experiences. Right? Now, we need to understand what is the type of experience that our customer will expect today, tomorrow, and into the future. And then we need to plan, well, how are we going to deliver that for them? And it's in that context where the technologies and that will, might say, well, actually, this technology could help us get there, right? But the customer experience is great. And if you look at the great disruptors, all the classical case studies, Uber, Netflix, all these, what did they do? They focused on what is a customer trying to do and how do we build a great customer experience? Now, what they don't do is they don't say, well, what are the incumbents doing? And maybe how could we make that a little bit more efficient? They radically change the customer experience based on an understanding of the customer journey. And you have to understand what is your customer trying to achieve in their life? How can you make sure that you are, part of that customer journey in a practically invisible way so that you just help them do what they want to do? Because they don't wake up in the morning trying to figure out what they want to do with your organization necessarily, but they are trying to do things in their lives. And if you can make it so simple for them and make it such a great experience, well, why wouldn't they come back to you?
Very well said. Tony, you're also an expert in areas like the metaverse and generative AI and other similar technologies. My next question is, how do you see the metaverse influencing digital business strategies? And there have been a lot of discussions that Nike has acquired a lot of real estate in the metaverse and so on and so forth. I'd love your perspective.
So look, I think the metaverse is essentially here already. We may look. I think. Look, let's be clear. I think the metaverse got a lot of bad press because a certain player has been involved in it. But if we strip the metaverse back in terms of what we're talking about an immersive internet. Right? So whether you want to call it the metaverse, spatial computing, extended reality, you can call it anything you want. All of the component technology parts are there. The other thing that I think we need to be really careful when we think about metaverse is that, the reason Nike and all these firms are in there is that, look, there's 3.2 billion gamers in the world, and they are used to immersive experiences, albeit in 2D, right? But they're used to this interactive environment where they can communicate with each other and with firms. So I think when you look at, the future, the type of experiences that will be expected from all, I mean, if you, a simple statistic, I think it's 70% of 13-year-olds in the USA are on Roblox every day, right? Now, when they come out of school and they go into jobs and they become the entrepreneurs and they become the customers, et cetera, are they going to be happy with the type of services that we provide today? Or are they going to expect that we need to provide something different? And equally, as they become employees, will they have ideas about the type of services that we could provide? Of course they will, right? So I think, look, the metaverse is here to stay. I think, funny enough, when we look at the world, 2 years ago it was all metaverse. Last year it was all generative AI. Next year maybe quantum computing. But the thing about it is it's actually the confluence of technologies that makes the real breakthrough. And if you look at what came out there last week from OpenAI with Sora, where basically text to video, right? Well, actually, you can text to metaversal worlds, right? So generative AI will actually fuel the metaverse and make it even more interactive and more engaging. So I think, look, the metaverse is here to stay. I think there's a piece that there's two parts that we need to be careful about. One is obviously the ability to collect data is phenomenal, right? There is so much data being collected, and we need to make sure we're doing it for the right reasons and in the right way. And then I think the other thing is, there's this whole question in terms of ownership rights. And I mean, I think in Roblox, I think there is 200 times more designers than there are in the real world, right? So you got these emerging creator economies, which we haven't figured out how that's going to work from an economic point of view. So I think there's a few things that need to be worked through. But yeah, look, I think it will happen.
No, I'm sure it will. But like you just told us so nicely about the metaverse, and you spoke about generative AI, I'd love to get your perspective on how is AI redefining business strategy.
Oh, well, look, I think AI is doing some incredible things. I think, look, I think the first thing to realize is that AI is not new. I mean, AI has been around for longer than me, and I wasn't
Absolutely.
born yesterday, right? But what has happened is because of generative AI tools, AI is suddenly, top of mind for a lot of people. I think, look, on one level, AI does incredible things from creativity to personalization at scale and all those type of things. But when I think of AI, I think we probably need to think of a couple of things. One is, there's AI that everyone is going to need just to be in business. So, a lot of the focus tends to be, well, on the headlines in the press, at least on job losses and whatnot. But essentially, what they're talking about is productivity, right? Now, productivity is going to become a table stake. It's not going to actually differentiate your business in any shape or form. The question is, how can you use these new AI tools and technologies to create new value that someone hasn't thought of, right? And that's where the breakthrough will come through. Because if you're just doing what everyone else is doing, I mean, it's a bit like, well, we have insight. Well, the insight is, AI has arrived and everyone is using it in a much different way. The foresight is, well, actually, if we think about where this is going, there is a real opportunity for us to differentiate our offering into the marketplace or to create new streams of value that no one had thought of. I think the other thing that we probably need to be clear on is, there's a difference in the business to consumer and the business to business thinking here, in that, business to consumer is very much going around, well, how to create experiences and how can we personalize and this, that, and the other. Business to business is probably going to be much more, well, how do we get that data analysis? How do we get predictive data? How do we understand, what's happening in our supply chains, all those type of things? So I think there will be differences, but I think the real nub of this is, routine AI and value creating AI. And I think that piece will be slower because it involves much higher risks if you get it wrong. So I think you're going to have, you'll have plenty of startups thinking, well, actually, we have nothing to go wrong. We could certainly experiment there. But I think for a lot of firms, they're going to be slowly making their way into, well, let's explore how this can create value. I think the other thing is that, look, as with all new, breakthroughs, what we're seeing is a rush to try to get the regulations in place to make sure the environment is conducive to using these new tools and technologies in the right way. And I think, one of the issues that is kind of curious for me is that, I don't think a lot of organizations have put too much, enough time really into understanding the responsible and ethical use of technologies. And one of the reasons this is so important is because, if you're running a business and you have an employee that does something wrong, maybe they'll impact 20, 30 customers and you'll find out you can fix it. But if something goes wrong here, right, you could impact millions of customers instantaneously, and you may not realize it because, in fact, some of these AI technologies, the black boxes, they call it, no one is quite sure what has happened.
Correct.
And I can envisage situations where, boards and executive directors are trying to explain that they didn't realize the technology did that, right?
Absolutely.
And I think the important thing is to let's stand back because look, we don't need to be able to write the programs or the algorithms. What we need to focus on is what outcomes is it going to drive, and are we happy they are good outcomes for our customers and stakeholders?
Well said. So I have time for two more questions for you, Tony. My next question is about the digital divide that seems to be building up within an organization, within a society, whether it's across ages or within a country, urban, rural, within countries. I mean, there are the haves and the have-not countries. You know, some have access, some don't have. I'd love to get your perspective on how can we bridge this massive digital divide that seems to be creating a big amount of challenges for a lot of countries that don't have access.
Yeah, well, look, I think this is a multifaceted answer, to be honest with you. I think, look, you know, at a global level, you know, we need to be putting in place the infrastructure to make sure that everyone has access to the internet and can avail of the tools and technologies. And you take something simple like, you know, we talked about the metaverse and we talked about generative AI. Well, why is the metaverse being a bit slower in maybe in some minds? Well, because you need hardware to access it in a lot of cases, albeit the new technologies now, you'll have naked eye 3D and you won't need any hardware. But with generative AI, anyone with access to the internet could tap into it. So it proves the case is that actually, if you create the access and the tools are there, everyone can use them. And I think, you know, there is a real risk as we think forward about society in terms of, you know, quantum computing, artificial intelligence, where actually you will have super nations, if I want to call it that, who have all this technologies and other countries don't. And that can create a serious problem. I think then within a national boundary, I think, you know, it is up to government and society to work together to make sure that everyone in society has access and actually has a level of digital literacy that they can use the tools. Because, you know, having access is one thing, being able to use it is a different thing. So I think we need to make sure that we are, you know, making it easy and intuitive for everyone to be able to, you know, use it. I think in companies, you've got a real interesting challenge. And I think the challenge is this. Maybe at the top level, the executive, the penny drops that we need to start using, you know, digital tools in part of our transformation. And down at the bottom of the organization, if we use that phrase, you have all the digital natives saying, well, we should have been doing this years ago. In the middle, though, you have a bunch of managers and senior managers who are now at sea. Because they're being compressed. There's people at the top saying we need to do this. There's people at the bottom saying, well, why weren't we doing it already? And they're saying, I'm not sure what this is all about.
Right.
So what we need to do is we need to make sure that we invest in those people so that A, you know, bring it back to, let's take out the word digital and let's talk about transformation. A, they understand that, you know, technology at the end of the day is just a tool. It is nothing else. It's just a tool. So we're going to show you how to use these tools and make it simple for you to use those tools and help you use those tools so that you can add more value to yourself and the organization and our customers. And I think the real challenge is because look, if we think about this, how often do you know junior employees meet the board? Probably never. How often do they meet the CEO? Well, maybe once a year at the Christmas party, but they don't actually meet them, right? Well, when do they meet the executive? Yeah, maybe at a quarterly meeting or something like that, but do they really meet them? The people they meet day in, day out are those senior
management
managers.
Yeah.
And if they're not comfortable and if they are feeling this digital divide pressure, you now have a roadblock in your organization. So you need to make sure that you're addressing it so that they feel, actually, this is just a tool that I can use. And look, actually, it makes my life easier. Right? So you have to address it. You can't just assume that, well, the tool is there. I mean, how many organizations have you been in? I have been in loads where they have implemented systems that no one uses.
Absolutely.
Or in fact, they go out of their way to bypass them. So I think you need to make sure that this whole digital divide is addressed in every aspect, company, you know, country, and you know, globally, so that you know all on a level playing field.
Very well said. Thank you. And my last question to you, Tony, and this is for you know thousands of people who will listen to our conversation, as a a thought leader in the digital space. I'd love to for you to look at your crystal ball and tell me what do you see are some of the digital trends in the next few years? And you just mentioned a few minutes back there was Meta year before last year, ChatGPT, and maybe quantum computing next year. But I'd love to get a perspective from you.
So I think, look, when we look back at history, what we see is, some of the great inventions didn't start out as what they are today, right? They started out over here, and someone else came along and said, actually, if we did this to it, it would do the following. And someone else said, actually, if we did this, it would actually make it better, right? So I think what we're going to see is we're going to see a lot of these technologies converging. And we are moving into a world that is going to be, very immersive, very actually, the blurring between physical and digital will become, increasingly blurred, I suppose. But we're going to move into a world where actually it also can be personally very very personalized on one level, where now look, it brings also challenges in terms of ethics and data privacy and all that sort of stuff. But the technology is going to move to a space where we can actually start to have real conversations with customers about what is important to them. And so, in the good old days, you used to talk about, a segment of one. Well, yeah, okay, it was a nice philosophy, but the technology didn't support it. Well, the technology is moving there, right? So I think for every organization, we on one level, they have a lot of technology maybe already, and they're kind of saying, well, we can't get there from here. But I think it's around figuring out the most important thing to do is figure out, well, look, if we scan the horizon and we look at what is happening, here are the things that we believe are fundamentally important that we must get right for our business to be competitive in the future. And the real trick is to figure out, well, okay, how are we going to get there from here? And there's no point in, like Citigroup did a report, sort of said there'll be 5 billion metaverse users by 2030. Well, there's no point in waiting until 2029 to figure out how you're going to deal with that, right? So you need to start planning for it now. That doesn't mean you go all in, but you need to start, experimenting and start understanding and start educating your people. And I think for me, the other thing is, on that point, I mean, the World Economic Forum said one in two of us needs to be retrained, for the digital world. Let's start retraining our people now. Let's start tapping into the wealth of digital knowledge that's in our young employees in particular, right? And let's start, creating the environment where it's safe for them to put up their hand and sort of say, look, I think we could do something along these lines, or we could, because I mean, it is amazing when you're dealing with executives and senior managers. I mean, simple examples, they don't use a lot of maybe apps that the young people are living their lives through. And the question I ask them then is, well, how can you create experiences for those people in the future if you have no idea how to use the technology? So I think it's around, having that view of, where the world is going and bringing that back to, well, what does that mean for us? And then focusing on the how we need to transform, which is all about your people, right? Because, implementing the technology, well, it's not going to do much other
Very
than,
well said.
it's a nice project, but, so what?
Absolutely. Very
Focus on
well
the
said.
people.
Very well said. And on that note, Tony, and your amazing messages, you see convergence of technologies taking place. You see blurring of physical and digital. You think retraining is absolutely critical. I love the example that you gave where, organizations, if the top wants to become digital and the bottom is saying, why aren't we digital already? The middle management needs to really be supported and nurtured to be able to take an organization. Thank you so much for speaking to me about your journey. Thank you so much for speaking to me at such length about digital transformation, about the metaverse, and about artificial intelligence. Thank you again for speaking to me, and good luck.
Thank you, Ashutosh.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast, a platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals.
You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for the brand called You.